Hello and welcome to episode 3 of the Pause.com Entertainment Podcast. We are your hosts.
Tony.
Who has forgotten who he is, apparently. And I'm Lou, and we are very excited to be here. Actually, we have to apologize for this being a little late.
This is the little episode that could.
Yeah, we had some technical difficulties, and we won't go into what happened, but suffice to say that we hope it won't happen again, and we are going to try to get this done every Wednesday for you. Yeah. We're going to try to have the new
episode. Try and get it up every Wednesday.
Yeah. Yeah, speak for yourself. I'm married. So we're going to try to have these posted every Wednesday, and we do apologize that this one is so late. And I'm sorry if you missed us. And you have some shout-outs that you want to do.
I do have some shout-outs. Send us your emails. Actually, we have a new email address that you can contact us at. It is podcast@pause.com.
And just so you know, pause.com is P-A-U-S-E, just like it says in the title of this podcast, and not pause like on a dog.
That won't come to us. No. Don't send it there.
No, we won't get that email.
So from our emails and from reviews, I have a couple shout outs to Marty, straight out of Shompton, yo.
What the hell is that?
He'll understand.
Okay.
To Smith, who asked that we do more gossip. I guess she liked me trying to out Ryan Seacrest.
Ooh, do we have gossip?
She wants, no, but we'll make some stuff up.
Ooh, I'm looking forward to that.
I'm not above that.
I'm looking forward to that.
And to Soupy Morgan, who says that she loves our podcast, very entertaining. She says she doesn't always understand what we're talking about when we talk about the video games. You know what? Neither do we.
Yeah, that's true. And obviously apparent by last week's podcast. Although, this week we're going to do something a little different with
right.
your video games. We're starting a new feature. You want to tell people what it is?
We will do video game reviews, but they will be 60 seconds.
Or less. They don't have to be exactly 60 seconds, right?
Like, this game sucks.
I don't think that's much of a review. Although, unfortunately, that's a lot of what you see online these days. especially on message boards. So what...
Yes.
I don't know. I completely lost my thought. Is that it? Are you done with the shout-outs?
I'm done with the shout-outs.
Okay. Are we going into video games?
Yeah, let's go into video games.
Okay. We're going to actually keep video games a little bit short because we have a lot to talk about this week. The Oscar nominations came out about a week ago.
And we have lots of Idol stuff for you, too.
We have a lot of American Idol stuff to talk about because it's American Idol season. All right, so what have you been playing this week?
Well, you know, I had a lot of stuff to talk about. I wanted to talk about either in the last month I had finished Prince of Persia and Mirror's Edge. I also just started playing Metal Gear Solid 4 on the PS3.
Oh, really?
But then I came across this little game on PSN called Pixel Junk Eden, and that will be my 60-second review.
Oh, cool. Now, I've never played any of the Metal Gear Solid games, but
I have not either.
I always hear people talking about them. What's the deal? I mean, what kind of game is it?
You know what? I just dipped into it.
Is it a first-person shooter or...?
Yes, but it's kind of like... tactical strategy with some stealth involved. Apparently there's less stealth in this one than there have been in the past, but I worry because after listening to some reviews on podcasts, I hear that that story is big, and because I haven't played the first three, I think I'm gonna have to do a little research online first to really understand the full story.
Yeah,
but you know, just in the little that I've seen so far, the cinematics are amazing.
Are they rendered or are they in-game?
They are rendered.
So they're not in the game engine.
I believe not.
You don't
know.
Talking about, do you?
It just
if you
cool.
look at it, does it look the same as when you're playing the game, or does it look
no.
like okay?
No. So it looks like a movie.
Okay, so it's pre-rendered. Yeah. Now, is that the one? I don't think it is. Is that's not the game where you have to like always duck behind boxes and stuff like that?
There is a lot of cover. So
yeah, there was some game that I played. I don't think it was that.
Gears of War, probably.
Gears of War, yeah.
That was too much cover.
I didn't like that.
Yeah.
See, I don't like it when a whole game is based on one particular type of action like that. Well, I guess it's okay if I like the action, but I didn't like that action. I don't like
a
whole game.
There's not a lot of action.
Yeah, there's a whole game based on hiding.
Yeah.
That's really not for me.
I'm
too impatient for that. I can't deal with it.
I agree. And from the reviews I read for Metal Gear Solid 4, they made this a little more, you can just run out and shoot, a little less cover.
But this wasn't that game anyway, so... Although you said there is some of that.
Well, there was a lot of cover and stealth in the first three, but
yeah,
this one, it's a little more run and gun.
Well, that's cool. Do you want to go first with your 60-second review of Pixel Junkie?
Sure.
Okay.
Now, I am not as prepared with Lou. I'm just going to do it right off the cuff.
Okay.
Lou has mapped his whole 60-second review out.
That's not even true. I did write it, though.
So here we go.
Okay. Let ready? Wait, where's the second hand on my watch? I think my watch has stopped.
It's
digital. There it is. Okay. No, it's not. I'm not that much of a spaz. Okay, you ready?
Uh-huh.
Set. Go.
Pixel Junk Eden is, oh my God, this is harder than I thought, is a platforming game where you play a grimp, which is a combination of grip and jump, which are your only actions required for this game. And you collect pollen to pollinate seeds, which turn into plants that you either grip or jump to. And what you're trying to find are spectras, which bring you to the next level and open up new levels by creating new plants. Oh my God, the pressure of 60 seconds.
30 seconds.
A lot of fun, very addictive, and yeah, you know what? I'm going to start mapping these out.
So your review is, you told us what the game
is. I love it.
You love it. Okay. So a lot of fun, very addictive, love it. You're way under time. You have anything else you want to say? You got 10 seconds.
Love it.
You already said that. Okay.
That's it.
All right, for my 60-second review today, I'm going to be talking about Tomb Raider Underworld, which I finished. And you'll be able to go and read the full review on pause.com with some screenshots and all that kind of fun stuff, and hopefully some comedy. And tell me when you're ready for me to start my 60-second review of Tomb Raider Underworld.
Go.
Tomb Raider Underworld once again casts the player in the role of Lara Croft to search out and find Helheim, the Norse underworld that may hold the key to the death of Lara's mother. During the course of the game, you'll travel to exotic locales spanning 20 levels spread out over 8 chapters, all the while running, jumping, swinging, riding, swimming, climbing, and strutting over obstacles and past bad guys. A revised combat system means you won't have to find weapons and ammo anymore, but limits the amount of ammo each weapon has during the course of a level. While Underworld is hampered by seriously annoying camera AI that will often trap you in close quarters, not to mention the use of save points, ridiculous for a PC game, I liked the balance between the exploration and puzzle solving and the combat, and the game itself looks much better than any previous Tomb Raider to date, with lush landscapes and full motion capture used for Lara's many actions. Overall, I give Tomb Raider Underworld a 7.5 out of 10, and you can read the complete review online at pause.com.
Wow, it's just 5 seconds short of 60 seconds.
See, that's why
and
I do this.
I will be writing out
that's why I do
my
this.
Future reviews, by the way.
I would also like to bring up a little piece of news from the world of video games that I think you're going to be very excited about in particular. And that is that revenue for PopCap Games was up 85% last year, despite PC game industry in general being down 14%.
Are they the ones that make Bejeweled Twist?
They are the ones that make Bejeweled Twist. Yes, they are. It's a private company, so they don't release their figures, you know, their actual dollar figures. But 85%, and most of that was attributed to the release of Bejeweled Twist, which just came out at the end of the year. Okay. And that's amazing, especially when you consider that some of the other big games in the PC market last year, in the fall even, were like World of Warcraft, Wrath of the Lich King, which is the expansion for that. Still have never played World of Warcraft.
No.
Do you have any desire to play that whatsoever?
I
almost
I do
play
have curiosity about the addiction level.
Yeah. I don't know, because a lot of the stuff that I've heard about it makes it seem like there's some fun stuff in it. But I remember when I was playing, Star Wars Galaxies.
Uh-huh.
I think a lot of the gameplay is probably similar to that in some ways. And after a while, I just didn't think that game was that much fun. So, right. I don't know. I'm curious, just like you said, to see what the furor
is. I'm curious
is
about that as I am about Second Life.
Oh, God. You're going to end up being like Dwight and Jim from The Office and flying
around
exactly
with a guitar
strapped
to your
back.
I'll be exactly the
same, but I can fly. Yeah. What's with that guitar? Well, that's nothing. Yeah, I don't even get that.
No.
I don't get that people will pay real money for all the crap that they use in that game. That is just the strangest thing to
me.
We'll
talk about PlayStation Home
in
a future date. Well,
why,
it's like PlayStation's
kind of
version of Second Life.
Is it built into the
system? It's in beta right now. But, I mean, anyone who has a PS3 and is online can try out the beta. Actually, parts of it are cool, but it's the PSN Second Life.
So you have spent some time in it.
A little. But they keep adding stuff to it.
Did you build
a
house?
It's like, you're given a house.
Oh.
But right now, if you want to like furnish your house or buy new clothes, real money.
Really?
Yeah. But I heard that they're going to start having, like, when you earn trophies in different games.
That converts into
right.
PlayStation home money. That's nice that they gave you a house, though. It's kind of like their own little stimulus program.
And it's a nice house. It's right on a harbor. My house, anyway. I don't know if it's different for everyone, but...
Well, how many harbors could there be? Is everyone on a harbor? You guys live in a giant circular
island? I don't know.
Island?
I've never talked to anyone else who's...
Did you ever leave your house?
Oh, yeah. You can go to, like... But you can't... I've never gone to anyone else's house. I don't know if that's possible, but there's a little, like...
That kind of seems pointless,
Shopping center and a movie theater.
And you see other people there?
Yeah. They're usually dancing or playing hacky sack or... And they'll come, it's really creepy. They'll just come up and they'll freak up on you. Just come up and dance right in front of you.
Oh, like, okay. Do they try to get you to dance along with them?
Usually run.
Can you sync your dance moves?
I don't know.
Because that was one of the cool things in Guild Wars that I always thought was pretty neat. There was a way for you to sync your dance moves with other people in the area. And so these people would start these giant dance numbers in the middle of a city that, you know, looked like ancient China.
And all of a sudden they're doing Thriller.
Exactly. Basically, what was really cool in Guild Wars is they, you know, there are different classes of characters.
Mm-hmm.
And every character had their own particular animations and poses for things like sitting and dancing and all that. So it was really cool. So if you got a bunch of people who were the same character class together, they could all synchronize their dance and it'd be exactly the same. But other character types would have their own dance moves that were completely different. And I think one of them actually was like the Thriller dance, which was kind of funny. But of course, you know, considering that most people who play online games are 15, usually these people were all in their underwear, which is kind of silly for a game that takes place in ancient China.
Right.
But whatever. Kids will be kids, I suppose. So that's it. That's all I have for video games this week.
That's all I have as well.
All right, cool. So we're going to take a little break, and then we'll be back to talk about television, and there is much to talk about there.
Enjoy the music.
All right, welcome back. We are done with video games and moving on to TV now. So let's start by talking about American Idol, which is one of my favorite things to talk about for the next 4 months. This week, I thought that Tuesday's episode in Jacksonville was seriously one of the funniest audition episodes I've seen in years.
I want to preface, first of all, that when I came in today, Lou's OCD nature, he had printed an entire list of all the people that auditioned.
That's not true. I left out the uninteresting people. So if you auditioned on Tuesday or Wednesday and you're not on this list, you should feel really bad about yourself.
He gave me this list of names, and I'm like, what am I supposed to do with this? I don't know who these people are.
I just didn't want to forget. I didn't want to be sitting here talking about American Idol going,
the blonde girl.
The blonde girl who sang that one song and she had a thing with her. So I typed out their lists. This is what we do. We're professionals, okay? Don't knock the process, my friend. This is how it works. So, but I thought Tuesday's episode in Jacksonville was hilarious. The judges were crazy. I mean, there was one point when they were all sitting on each other's laps and Ryan was in there and they were making out with each other and
they were making out. Wait a minute.
Yeah. Paula tried to kiss Kara.
Girl on girl.
And then remember that Kara said to Simon that she didn't feel like she was really part of the cast until he made a move on her, which I thought was pretty funny.
But what I thought was funny, it was in Jacksonville. Was it in Jacksonville or maybe it was an episode last week? I had talked about Kara and Paula waiting for them to get catty, but Kara and Simon got into it a little. Mm-hmm. Remember?
I do. Yeah. Yeah. Because he kept cutting her off. Well, you know, it's the same thing where I think she wants to say what she wants to say and he just doesn't care and just wants to move on, which I think is kind of annoying actually. Because he always has something to say.
Yeah, but he is the most interesting of all four of them.
Yeah. What I love, though, is when they come into, you know, when a new contestant comes into the room, I don't know what kind of notes the judges have on whether this is going to be a serious audition or a jokey audition.
Right.
And so it seems that there are times when somebody comes in and they don't know because they start singing and then Simon will like roll his eyes like, oh God, not another one of these. You know what I mean? He did that a couple times in the last couple of episodes and I thought that was kind of funny. But did we talk about the whole process last week?
A little. Okay. I told you there was like pre-screening and how they don't see everyone. They just...
Right, but did we talk about it beyond that?
No.
Why okay, because I read something with a contestant who didn't make it far enough to audition for the judges. But one of the things that I thought was really cool was the big crowd scenes when everyone's in the auditoriums and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
That stuff all happens about a month and a half before they audition for the judges.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they go to the huge auditions, and there are all these, they put people into groups, and then they bring them inside based on what time of day they register.
Uh-huh.
Once they get there. And four people at a time go in front of a panel of three judges who are basically producers either of the show or, you know, music producers who the show has hired. And they have 12 tables set up. So at any given time, there are 48 people auditioning, and they only get like 15 to 20 seconds each. And then if they like you enough, either because you're good or because you're a complete weirdo,
right,
then they invite you back for the next thing. And that's when they go back when the judges are there. The judges are not actually there for any of that process.
So what's the time span between that?
Like a month and a half to two months. So then they come back, and I think by the time they get to that second round, the part that, you know, you see that gets televised with the four judges now, they've whittled it down to maybe between 40 and 75 people, and that's all the people that are there. So when you see those shots of the room with everyone sitting on the chairs,
right,
and you'll notice that even after you've seen somebody's audition and then they're gone, that you still see them in,
right,
those shots, that's because it's just that group of people that's there all day waiting for their chance to audition.
Oh, that makes
and
sense.
And I guess even when they get there, I think when they first come there, what he said was that they had to audition again, and there are maybe 200 people, and then they whittle it down to the between, you know.
Well, that makes sense then why some people are like that are terrible, that are crying, because I don't understand. I'm like, how could they think that they were going to make it? But they've asked them already to come back.
Exactly. And by the time they get to see the four judges,
delusional.
The audition for the fourth judges is the fifth audition they've done.
Okay.
To get onto the show. So I thought that was really cool because I didn't realize there was that big of a time span between, you know, the stadium shots and then when they're actually in front of the judges.
Right.
Because I've always wondered, well, how is it possible that this many people get to, you know, get to audition? But it's because they never meet with those people.
Well, let's tackle your list here.
Okay. So from Tuesday night, Jacksonville, Florida, Julissa Veloz.
Liked.
I like. Like, wow, this is going to be short. I liked her too. Now, she was the crazy. Where was she from? Was she from, like,
I'm surprised you don't have like their background.
She was
also
from Cuba or Puerto Rico or South America or something.
Right.
And she had a little tiara and a crown that said candidata, you know, candidate. And she seemed like she was going to be a total whack job, and then she actually had a really good voice.
She had a great voice.
Yeah, that was amazing because she seemed like a kook. She might have been on something.
She was fun, actually.
She was fun. I liked her. Naomi Sykes was the other girl who came in. She was tall, and she had long blonde hair, and she came in with a friend who was in love with Randy, and then the friend was sitting on Randy's lap, and then she turned out to be terrible.
Terrible.
And just like the week before with Kara, you know, this time Simon was like, that was a joke, right? And it was obvious that it wasn't because she started crying. Here's what I don't get. How do these people not know that they completely suck?
Well, like we just said, they asked them to come, you know, they've been through four auditions, they keep making it through.
Right, but so I mean, just listening to yourself sing, how can you
Very
not know
delusional.
That you're completely off key and that you don't have a good singing voice?
I don't know. How did Sanjaya get through?
The faux hawk.
They want to be the
it was
next
the faux,
Sanjaya.
It was the faux hawk. I don't know why anyone would want to be the next Sanjaya. Okay, so that was Naomi Sykes. Jasmine Murray was the 16-year-old
Liked.
Black girl who was there with her whole family. She had a good voice, but she was very nasally. And I don't know if that's going to work ultimately. Well, I mean, think about how many, you know, for the kind of song that she sang, it
right.
was fine. But it was even a little bit annoying then to me. So I'm just trying to imagine when they start going through the different weeks where they have different genres and they have to do other kinds of music that they're not comfortable with. I don't know if Nasally Girl is going to make it very far. I don't know. George Ramirez. All right, we got to talk about this guy. He was the guy who was like a physics student with the beard and the mustache who could
sing
not sing
really
at all.
Low, if that's even singing.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I kind of feel like those auditions are a waste of time. But he was just so weird that I'm actually really glad that they showed him because he was such a crazy person. I loved it when he would be talking and he just had the shifty eyes and he was just looking back and forth and never really sure what was going on. And I liked how he kept trying to make little jokes relating music to physics.
I know a lot of people like him.
You don't know anybody
I
like
do.
Him. Who?
You.
I know. Who do you know that's
no,
like
really.
That?
I do know some people like them.
Really?
I won't mention their names. I swear I do.
God, that's just weird.
You know, they have so much going on in their brain that they can't, you know, they can't get it out.
I don't know what that means. What does that mean?
Let's move on to Anne Marie.
Okay, Anne Marie Boscovich was the cute girl with the dark hair who they made leave and then come back after she gave herself a little makeover.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't understand them making her leave. I didn't see what the issue was with her.
Well, what they said was she came in there acting like a fan, and they needed her to come in acting like the next American.
Whatever. She just needs to sing. I thought that I thought all of that was unnecessary.
Well, it made for good TV.
Yeah, it made for moderate TV.
Oh, I don't know. I liked her, and I thought she was really cute. And I thought she had a good voice. You didn't like her.
I thought she had a great voice. No, oh. I thought all of that bringing her back was unnecessary. And then her putting on her makeup in the parking lot.
Yeah. Well, that was a good show for somebody, whoever was on the parking lot. But yeah, she was good. Then the next night, last night, was Salt Lake City. Didn't you think there was an insane amount of talent in Salt Lake City? A lot of those people were really good.
Yeah.
David Osmond, I thought, was good. I don't know why they were giving him such a hard time. I thought he was really good.
Yeah. He's an Osmond.
But I don't understand. So what?
Well, maybe they thought that, you know,
he doesn't need American Idol.
Not only that, but, you know, if he's going to come in with the Osmond name, he's going to have to be just a little better than the rest because he's already got the name.
Would you think that if he came in and his last name was Brady because of the silver platters and the Brady Six? and I don't mean to make fun of people with dread diseases because I know people
Here we go.
I'm just saying I know people with MS. It's a very serious disease, but did his dad need to cry quite so much, or did they need to show us his dad crying quite so much? I don't need to see that. I thought Ryan was going to make out with him for a minute. He looked like he was really into him. It's like, hey, I can't believe you're in a wheelchair. You look great. He's like grabbing his arm.
There's the gossip you were looking for, Smith.
There you go.
More about Ryan.
Gossip number one.
Outing Ryan again.
Ryan in love with David Osmond. You heard it here first and probably last. Okay, then there was Frankie Jordan, who was the girl who they compared to.
Okay, Frankie Jordan, I remember. I mean, aside from your list, I remember because I wanted to mention she... when I saw her, I'm like, oh, she's very attractive, but she reminds me of someone, and it was driving me crazy. So I rewound the TiVo, and she reminds me of Janice on Friends. Remember Janice?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think, but she sang great.
I think Frankie Jordan needs to buy a bra, though. There were a couple times when there was almost a little slippage, if you know what I'm saying. And
she made it through, so whatever works.
I guess so. But, yeah, you know, the thing that was funny about last night was in Salt Lake City was there was a lot of talent, but it was all very quirky talent. Did you notice that? Like, she was kind of quirky.
You wonder how, like you mentioned about the nasally girl from Jacksonville, you wonder how these people are going to do when they do the different genres.
Yeah.
Because Frankie Jordan nailed the Amy Winehouse thing.
Right. But how's she going to do singing, Queen or something like that? I always go back to that. I can't imagine they're ever going to have another Queen episode. That was such a disaster a few years ago. What was that guy's name? Ace? Remember him, Ace? Yeah. And remember, he wanted to mess around with the lyrics and tempo of one of their songs. And he's like, forget it. Can't do it with my song. No way. That was awesome. Okay, so then the next person who was pretty good was that Megan Corkery. She had long, lightish hair. And she was the one who had the tattoo all over her one arm.
She was great.
Yeah, she had a very distinct voice. And she's got a cool look. I don't know if I thought she was as gorgeous as... They all seem to think she
was. No, I really thought the whole package was great. And her voice, I think she should have picked a song a little more.
Contemporary?
Yeah.
Yeah, because she sang a very old sounding song. But I think, again, that might be her voice. That was so weird last night. There were so many quirky people on there.
What was funny was she followed Frankie Jordan, who sounded like Amy Winehouse, and this girl sounded a lot like either Duffy or Adele.
Yeah, Duffy?
Yeah.
Which Duffy? Hillary or... Oh, that's Duff. Never mind.
Duffy.
Sorry. Okay, so then there was Taylor Vaifanua, who I think she said she was Samoan. She was like the 6 foot tall, 16-year-old girl with the really big voice. And didn't they say that she reminded them of Jordan Sparks?
Yeah, because she was big.
She seemed, that's just mean. She seemed way older than 16.
Yeah.
She seemed like she was
like a monster.
Come on, this poor kid.
I didn't think she was that good either.
I thought she had a nice voice. I thought she had a big, powerful voice. You didn't like her?
No.
Oh. All right. And then the last girl was Rose Flack, who sadly both of her parents are dead. And she was the one who grew up in a van with her hippie
dad. Now, here's the problem I had with that. And I caught some hell at home for saying this. She was complaining about how her father had died when she was 13. Well, I mean, that happens to how old was she now? I mean, I'm not saying, let's not remember our deceased parents, but.
What, are you saying she needs to get over it?
No, no.
What are you saying?
Not in those words. I'm just thinking, I mean, obviously that was many years ago. Like, she was using it as her sob story. Everyone feels they have to have a sob story.
I don't know if they feel they need to have a sob story so much as the producers feel they need to have a sob story. I mean, you know, they went to the girl's house.
Right.
That obviously didn't happen at the
audition.
You
always know when they show you footage at their house.
No, that's not true, because they've done that with a number of people who then totally sucked. It used to be that way, and then they started following some of the people
who were
bad.
Those are the people that cry.
Yeah.
They came to my house. I don't understand.
But I really liked her. I thought she was great. Did you like her or not really?
No.
Oh, yeah. I really liked her. I thought she had a very
Apparently,
sweet...
I'm a little harder to entertain than you are.
Well, with music. Obviously not with video games.
That's harsh.
I'm just saying. So that's American Idol. And then tonight, we've got a two-hour special tonight.
It's on tonight?
Yeah. The last two audition cities are tonight, New York and...
Puerto Rico.
Apparently Puerto Rico, now a city, according to American Idol.
No, actually, they said San Juan.
Oh, they did? Yeah. Okay. So New York and San Juan are tonight, and...
Keep in mind, San Juan is where, like,
Yeah, now, what did you say about that? Yeah, only, like, 100
That they expected tons of people to show up, and it was, like, 100.
Well, what's the population of Puerto Rico?
Well, I mean, that might be part of the reason in that it's harder to get to. Like, you know, it's all like city that people come from LA.
Right.
And, like, you know, Puerto Rico is
It's not an island.
To. Right.
Yeah. So, so that's tonight. And then next week, Hollywood Week starts, which is pretty cool because that's always a good time. And apparently they're going to drag it out more than they did last year, which was good because last year was like 10 minutes of it. I always like the Hollywood Week stuff. Although I don't understand why they make them do the group numbers with choreography and all that kind of stuff. What are they getting out of that? That has to do with the competition ultimately.
I don't know. That's a good question.
You know what I mean? They always focus so much on that and the whole being able to work together and all this. If they're looking for a solo artist, what difference does any of that make?
Right.
I mean, I guess they want to see if they can work with other people because they're going to have to work with
other
people.
They're probably putting four people together also, and they want to see who shines out of the four.
Yeah, I could see that. Still, I don't know why they judge that part of it so harshly. I wonder how many people are going to bring instruments this year. I kind of liked that last year, that they were able to do that. All right, so that's American Idol. I want to say something about The Bachelor, only in that both of the Chicago contestants were booted off recently, and they both made our city look so terrible. It was just, there was this one girl, Natalie, a blonde girl, very materialistic and just kind of a horrible person. I may have talked about that last week. But anyway, yeah. she was very rude when she left. And then the other girl, Nikki, who's from Blue Island, she was let go this week and did not deal with it well either.
We're nice people here.
We are nice people here. You should come visit. What was that? Did you hear that?
No.
It's like strange noises in the studio today. I don't know, maybe it's the ghost of Nikki and Natalie. I don't know. But they're not dead, by the way. They're just off the show. All right, so there's that. You want to talk about Lost?
Sure.
What did you think of the premiere?
I thought it was great. I love the new direction they're going.
Yeah. How much do we want to talk about that? Because do you think anyone who's going to watch it hasn't watched the premiere yet?
Well, we'll talk about the premiere. I mean.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't see last night's yet. At some point during the last season, you remember there was the part when Ben
turned the wheel to move the island.
Well, he wasn't moving it physically. He was moving it through time.
Chronologically
through time. So now we know that, and we already had hints of this too with the stuff that was going on with Desmond, but now we know that.
But if you think about it, he had to still move it physically because, okay, maybe he was putting it, you know, back and forward in time, but the island will still be there. Remember when the helicopter was going toward the island and then the island disappeared?
Yeah.
The island would still be there, whether it went back or forward in time.
Well, not according to the show, because that's how they made it impossible for people to find was by moving it.
So that's what I'm saying. They still had to move it physically.
No. If the island is locked to a particular time and you can change when that time is, then it won't appear in any time that it doesn't exist in. I think that's the point that they're trying to make. And that's why they were saying that some people were moving, like Locke, were moving independently of the time. So Locke was in his own little time bubble. The island was in its own little time bubble. And
so at some point, the island does not exist.
Well, obviously, because that's why the helicopter didn't see it. But here's the dumb thing about that. An island is not a piece of land floating on the water. It's a piece of land that's higher than the water.
Right.
You know what I mean? If you drain all the water out of the earth, all the land is connected. It's just there's no water there anymore. Right. So it's kind of dumb that they, because that is what they're saying. They're saying that they're moving it through time and not physically moving it to a different location. But that doesn't make any sense. because what, where would it have gone? I mean, it's connected to the rest of the world. You know what I mean? But anyway, it was kind of cool. And there were some neat things. What did you think about the fact that we saw something happening back when the Dharma Initiative was new and there was that guy, yeah, you know, who does the films. But what did you think about the fact that Daniel Faraday was there? And he looked exactly the same as he does now.
It's the whole time. Well, the same with Richard.
Right, because he never ages, right?
He never ages either, right.
But Richard wasn't part of Dharma. He was part of Ben's group.
Right.
So, I don't know. It's curious. It's curious to see which of these things will get picked up again.
Well, I have seen last night's episode.
Yeah.
And so it's really cool how they...
Has some of that already played out?
I won't ruin anything.
Okay.
We'll talk about it next week.
Okay. That's fine. I am getting a little sick of how Kate always looks like she's on the verge of tears. Can they please direct her to...
I actually saw her on a talk show the other day.
Did she look like
the
that?
Same way, yeah. Yeah, and she got something weird with her teeth.
What do you mean?
It looked like she had Invisalign in or something.
Maybe she did.
Her teeth looked way too big for her mouth.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe she has no teeth and she lost her
no,
dentures.
No, she has huge teeth.
Oh.
She almost has like the Something About Mary veneers.
What show was this on?
Was it Regis and Kelly?
It wasn't on her 1-900 dating commercial.
She has one?
Oh, didn't you see that? When Lost first started airing, you used to see these commercials all the time with her on them where it was a phone, like a phone dating.
Was it real?
Yeah, it was real, but it was from Canada or something like that. And she must have done those commercials, you know, years ago before she was cast in the show, obviously. But then once the show was on, whoever had made them, you know, took advantage of the fact that now she's a huge star. And they were showing them all the time. It was really funny. You know, and it was the same as all those things. They show them late
probably
at night.
Probably find that on the internet.
On stupid channels. But yeah, that was kind of funny. Now, she didn't have like the weird Kukla, Fran, and Ollie teeth like Tom Cruise, does she? Or there's the one big tooth right in the middle of her mouth.
No.
He got that fixed. He doesn't look like that anymore.
Yeah. Well, he had braces for a while, remember?
No. I don't remember. Was it Invisalign?
No, they were visible.
Speaking of which, you ever see those commercials for dentists who say that they could come in and fix your teeth like in an hour instead of going through the hassle of having braces? How is that possible?
They take all your teeth out and put fake...
Is that really what happens?
Corn niblets in?
Corn niblets. A.K.A. crunk. God, that seems painful. I don't know what's up with that. Do you have anything else you want to talk about on TV?
No.
Yeah.
That's it. Let's get to movies.
Okay.
Let's take a break and... We got a lot of movie stuff.
Okay, cool. So enjoy the musical interlude, and then we will be back to talk about movies and the Oscar noms. All right, here we are back to talk about movies and...
The Oscars.
The Oscars. We had a little internal debate here a minute ago as to whether it should be called Oscar or the Oscars.
Well, I said we were going to talk about Oscar.
And I said, Oscar or Oscars? But it's not... They only call it the Oscar because somebody commented that it
reminded
her.
Well, one is an Oscar.
Right, but it's not officially called that, really.
No, it's Academy Award.
All right, I'm just saying. Okay, anyway, before we talk about the Oscars, can I talk about something movie-related that I guarantee will have nothing to do with the Oscars?
Okay.
Which is that Warner Brothers has announced that they're going to do another Lara Croft Tomb Raider movie, which could actually be a good thing if it's well-written and well-cast. Unlike the previous two movies. But I just think it's kind of interesting since we talk about video games.
Was that a slam at Angelina?
No, I love Angelina Jolie. And I would love to actually love Angelina Jolie. But...
You mean like physically love Angelina Jolie?
I don't think I should comment on that. I'm just saying that I have no problems with Angelina Jolie. Pitt. But they were terrible movies. They were just...
I never saw either one of them.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
You didn't miss anything. They didn't feel anything like the way the old games felt.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know why they went in the direction that they did, but it was not good. But we're going to do a thing on pause.com on the blog where we're going to post a bunch of possibles of who we might like to see cast as Lara Croft. And we might attach a little contest to that, so keep an eye out for that in the future. But okay, and then you saw Slumdog Millionaire.
I saw that yesterday. And I loved it.
Really?
And I really think it's the best movie of last year.
Really?
No, I haven't seen everything, but it's hard for me to believe that something would be better than it. Well, you know, I went into it thinking it was like a love story and that it was, I didn't realize it was going to be as intense as it was. I mean, it's pretty violent.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. It's pretty, like, for the first two-thirds of the movie, you're, like, on the edge of your seat and just, like, it's hardcore.
You mean because he lives in the slums?
He lives in the slums, but, I mean, there's a lot of, like...
General slum activity?
Not just
vagrancy?
There's a lot of violence and a lot of, you know,
yeah,
gang stuff going on. It's
right.
It's intense. A lot of... I mean, there's some torturing.
Yeah.
There's some...
What do you think gang-wise? What would you be more afraid of to run into in real life? A Mumbai gang or a Chicago gang?
Judging by this movie, the Mumbai gang.
Really? Because
they really have no remorse.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if the Chicago gangs would either.
Well, when you say Chicago gang, I think back to, like, the 20s.
I'm pretty sure those people are dead. So not only do they have no remorse, they also can't really pose a threat.
But what I really loved about this movie is that, I mean... It ends happily. Mm-hmm. I mean, after a lot of, like, heartache.
Right. I mean, sure, there are a bunch of people dead, but at least the ending is happy.
Because it's set in India, and they wanted to pay a little homage to, you know, Indian film.
Right.
At the very end, when the credits start to roll, there's a Bollywood dance number.
Ooh, nice.
I mean, the movie has such a serious tone through the whole thing. And then there's this little Bollywood. And it was great. It really, like, you already left feeling, you know, kind of happy that it ended the way it did. But
right.
Then, you know... It lifts you back up.
You know, I will admit right now that I don't know if I've ever seen an actual Bollywood movie. And I wonder if that's a typical thing. Because do you remember when they did that episode of The Office where they were celebrating, why am I blanking on her name?
Kelly?
Kelly's. Remember Kelly's party that they all went to?
Right.
And then remember at the end of the episode, in like the postscript part of the episode, they did that whole dance number? I wonder if that's a common thing for
Bollywood movies. I've watched a Bollywood movie once, and it is really weird because it'll be a serious movie, then all of a sudden there's a dance number.
Yeah.
And it kind of like, it's cool, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's not like anything that we would do.
Is it like American Dance Numbers where you kind of make fun of everybody for all knowing the same dance moves?
Oh, yeah. Totally.
No, but I mean, is it obvious that it's supposed to look like something orchestrated and choreographed?
Yes.
And
yes.
Not just like a bunch of kids in high school happen to all know the same dance steps, like in, you know, Can't Buy Me Love or something like that.
Well, it's not even jointly related to the story.
It's,
I mean,
just
all
a
of
dance
a sudden
number.
Yeah. A scene ends with a big dance number.
Maybe it's stock footage from like a parade or something.
Well, it's really cool. And so the acting was excellent in this movie.
Yeah.
The whole visual of the movie is
yeah,
it's very, the suspense part of it is, you know, the way it's cut and everything, it's
right,
very frantic.
What aspect of the movie, like the suspense part of it, the love story part of it, you know, any of that kind of stuff, what part of it was your favorite, do you think?
I guess because I was just so torn up through the first two thirds, but then it still ended. I mean, it brought me back.
Right.
I mean, it's without sounding cliche, it is an emotional roller coaster.
Yeah, that does sound very cliche.
Yeah, I know. It's packed with emotion.
Did you cry?
Yeah, I did cry a little at the end.
I think,
but
I
cried anything.
Yeah. Hallmark commercials.
My paycheck.
That is actually a completely separate issue, and you should probably work on that. I am afraid that we are not going to be able to see that while it's in the theater. I just, you know, it's so hard to get out with the baby and everything, so... Might have to wait till it's on video.
It's certainly not a movie to bring the baby to.
No. I put zero movies in that category, actually. Unlike the many people we see at the movies with their babies, I'm not into that idea.
I'm not a fan of that, really.
I don't like
that. As someone without a baby, sitting next
to
the person with the baby.
But see, that's for a completely different reason. I just don't want them to be exposed to that kind of stuff at this age. You know, they don't know what's going on. It's just stimulus overload
right
to them. Plus, they
and
could start screaming.
Because of the way it's edited, which works in this film.
Sure, you could put him over the edge and cause a seizure or something.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know why I'm laughing at that.
I don't know. Because you're mean. All right, so
let's move to Oscars.
Okay, let's talk about the Oscars. So the Oscar noms came out last Thursday, 1 week ago today.
They did. And a couple surprises.
Such
and
as.
A couple letdowns. First of all, let me just go over, I'll go over the main awards. And we'll discuss. For Best Picture, we have Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
Which, okay. You said you're going to list and then we'll discuss?
Yes.
Sorry.
Frost Nixon.
Okay.
Milk, The Reader, and Slumdog Millionaire.
Okay. So you think Slumdog Millionaire should definitely win?
Easily. Although I have to say, I haven't seen Frost Nixon or The Reader, and I will before the Oscars.
I heard Frost Nixon was really excellent. I honestly don't think I even heard of The Reader.
That's before with Kate Winslet.
Before. Well, what is it about, though?
She plays a Nazi. She works for the Nazis. She goes on trial. Yeah. Well, no, she has an affair with a younger man who later is the guy trying her.
Was it Leocarpo DiNardio?
No, that's that's Revolutionary Road, which was not nominated.
Oh.
But what surprises me here in this category is, you know, I saw The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, which led with the most nominations, which...
I don't get it at all.
I do not think it was Oscar-worthy at all. I certainly don't think it deserved. I believe it was 13 nominations.
That's ridiculous. You know what it should get nominated for is anything having to do with makeup and special effects.
Definitely.
Because it was brilliant as far as that stuff goes.
Which it does. Visual effects and makeup, both of them.
Okay. And it totally deserves that because the stuff that they did with aging people and unaging people and all that kind of stuff, truly remarkable. But as... There was no story. It's another one of those movies that has no story.
Right.
It's a movie about a guy who's down on his luck, basically.
Right.
And he never gets out of that situation. He's a guy who's down on his luck through his entire movie. Well, I guess the story is that, you know, despite the fact that he's down on his luck, he still has a good attitude. Which, you know, so what? Right. That and $1.50 gets him a cup of coffee. And is heartbroken by yet another bitchy woman by the same writer as Forrest Gump, as we've discussed previously.
What should have been in that, I don't think it would have won, was Doubt. I thought Doubt was much better movie going for my money than Benjamin Button was.
Wait, did you say The Wrestler is in there?
No.
And no, were you surprised by that too?
Yeah, I would have put that in there as well.
Huh.
I did see Milk and I thought it was great. I think The Wrestler and Doubt were better than both Milk and Benjamin Button.
Doesn't kind of anything with Sean Penn though get promoted usually? Maybe that's a thing for any of you people out there who are considering a career in the movie business. Maybe you should make a really, really like dumb movie like Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Not that that was dumb, but I mean, you know, play like a really dumb character and then go on to something that's completely polar opposite of that. And then everyone will think you're a genius. Maybe Keanu Reeves should think about that.
He can't pull off the really serious thing. Did you ever see Walk in the Clouds?
No, I never saw that.
Torture. Okay, let's move on to Best Actor. We have Mickey.
I also never saw The Lake House.
Yeah,
wasn't he in that?
Me neither. No,
I don't think.
By
I
that
could.
Point,
and I love Sandra Bullock, but I just don't think I could deal.
Best Actor, we have, in no particular order, Sean Penn for Milk, Mickey Rourke for The Wrestler, Brad Pitt for Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
Brad Pitt, hold on, let me finish listing. Okay.
Frank Langella for Frost Nixon and Richard Jenkins, which was a surprise here, for The Visitor. Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt, for most of the movie, stood around doing nothing.
Yes.
If you think about it, he spent most
for
of the movie.
For most of the movie, it's not even his body.
But he spent most of the movie standing and staring.
Yeah.
And, you know, saying things with a New Orleans accent. I don't get that at all.
We know that he's not going to win. So
no,
and I can't even really think of anyone. I mean, maybe someone from Slumdog Millionaire. I can't think of anyone that I would put in there in his place.
You said Mickey Rourke is in there.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that's good. Now, Frank Langella, and then who's the last guy? The guy from
Richard Jenkins.
Richard Jenkins. What's interesting about them is they're both normally character actors.
Yeah.
And they're both in, you know, some pretty significant leading roles here. I don't think I've ever seen Richard Jenkins in a leading role.
No. You're right.
And he almost always plays the same kind of characters. Did you see that?
I did not. Not yet.
Yeah. I'm wondering how he is in that.
I'm going to try and hit as many of these as I can before the
Oscars. Wait, what's his most of the things that you've seen him in? What's the thing that you remember the most?
Probably, it's not even a movie, probably the dad in 6 Feet Under.
Oh. I think for me, it's Witches of Eastwick. Remember he played the husband of the woman and he beat her to death with the fire poker?
Oh, that's him.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But he's good. You know, people really underestimate good character actors.
Oh, yeah.
Because those characters add a ton of subtlety and you know, realness to a movie.
And they carry those scenes. I mean,
they do.
You know,
as somebody who, now granted, I've never done anything like that, but even just doing voice acting for commercials or video games or whatever, no idea how hard it is to take something that's written, because people don't speak the same way they write typically. So unless you're working with David Mamet, but it's so hard to, you know, take something that's written and make it come across as believable without deviating from the script.
Right.
And people like him who are good at that, I mean, that's a pretty cool thing. So it's neat to see some of these people getting leading roles too.
Can we move on?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm not rushing.
I stopped talking. No, okay. That's what happens. I stopped talking. You keep talking.
I see. Best actress. We have Anne Hathaway for Rachel Getting Married.
Okay.
Angelina Jolie for The Changeling. Melissa Leo for Frozen River. Meryl Streep for Doubt. And Kate Winslet for The Reader. This one I think is a toss-up.
Between?
Well,
you're going to say Meryl Streep.
That's who I would like. But I haven't seen The Reader and I haven't seen Rachel Getting Married, and I plan to within the next week or so. So
Rachel Getting Married is a serious movie, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a Jonathan Demme.
Yeah.
And she doesn't play Rachel.
No, she plays her sister, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But apparently it's kind of a depressing.
It's like when Sandra Bullock was in 28 Days.
That movie's terrible.
Wait, is it 28 Days or 28 Days Later?
No,
I always get those confused.
That's the zombie.
Okay.
But I think this is one category that's hard to pick. Because I think the buzz was on Anne Hathaway, but then Meryl Streep won the Golden Globe and Kate Winslet won the... Meryl Streep won the SAG Award. Kate Winslet won the Golden Globe.
I love Kate Winslet. I think she's amazing. When Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind came out, everyone was talking about how great
Jim Carrey
was. I thought she made that movie. She was incredible in that film. She's a fantastic actress.
She is.
And she's dishy too, so I like that.
Best Supporting Actor. We have Josh Brolin for Milk, Robert Downey Jr. for Tropic Thunder, Philip Seymour Hoffman for Doubt, Heath Ledger for The Dark Knight, and Michael Shannon for Revolutionary Road.
Okay, first, right off the bat, I'm going to say I don't like Michael Shannon because he gives me the creeps.
I don't know who Michael Shannon is.
His picture's right there.
Not on this page.
Oh, it's not. It's in there somewhere.
Put me on the spot.
Sorry. He's looking at Entertainment Weekly because they have the whole thing broken down in there. His picture's in there somewhere. But he was in that movie with Ashley Judd that you thought was going to be a... it was like some kind of paranormal movie. Remember with the bugs? It might have been called Bugs.
Oh, right.
Was it called Bugs? No, what was it called? I don't remember now. I'm going to have to look it up. But they were in that movie. And I'll give the guy props. He's a good actor, but he's always like a creepy actor. So he kind of gives me the creeps. You think Heath Ledger's going to win just because he's dead?
No, I don't think it's just because he's dead. I think it's because it was definitely one of the most memorable performances of the year.
Wait, just run down the list real quick again.
Josh Brolin for Milk, Robert Downey Jr. for Tropic
Thunder. Okay, can you believe that got nominated?
Yes.
Really?
Did you see it?
No.
He's awesome in it.
Was it a really good movie?
No.
Was it funny?
Well, you know my deal with Ben Stiller.
Yeah.
There are moments in it that are worth it. If you see it on cable, catch it. Tom Cruise is great in it.
Yeah.
Robert Downey Jr. is great in it. And it's worth it just for those two. There's a couple little cameos in there that are great too.
Yeah.
But Ben Stiller ruins everything for
me. See, for me, Ben Stiller, I don't mind Ben Stiller as long as he's not playing that Ben Stiller character that he always plays.
Name two movies where he's not.
Okay. Here's what I don't like him in. I don't like him as the aw shucks, down on his luck, lonesome loser guy.
Something About Mary.
Something About Mary, which I hated because of that. Anything that has Fockers in it, I don't ever want to see because those movies are terrible. I don't like that. But if you put him in something like Dodgeball or...
Oh, that's where I hate him even more, when he plays these outlandish, ridiculous characters. Like Dodgeball
that.
Or Zoolander.
Zoolander I wasn't as crazy about as everyone else, but I liked him in Mystery Men too. I loved him in Dodgeball. I mean, it was just such a ridiculous character.
I can't stomach him at all.
What?
I can't stomach him at all.
You didn't like that movie either?
What, Tropic Thunder?
No, Dodgeball.
No.
It was really funny. I thought that movie was funny. Yeah, I like that one. Okay.
Supporting actress, Amy Adams for Doubt, Penelope Cruz for Vicky Cristina Barcelona, Viola Davis for Doubt, no, Taraji P. Henson for Curious Case of Benjamin Button and Marissa Tomei for The Wrestler. This one, I think, is the total toss-up. This one,
Who would you give it to of what you've seen?
Of what I've seen, and I've seen almost all of these. I would say Viola Davis is role was the best, but she's only on screen for about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So it's hard to, you know.
Yeah.
I would have to go with Marissa Tomei.
Yeah. Now, what's her name? Taraji. She's from the, she played the woman who raised him, right?
Right.
I thought that was fine. But again, I didn't really see anything Oscar worthy in that movie.
No.
It was just all nice.
Right.
And that's it. It was a nice movie with a bunch of nice people, except for one who I couldn't stand. And that's it. It's just a nice little story. I don't know. I don't get it.
I really think the role that the actress put the most in was the Marissa Tomei role.
Do you think she should have won for, did we already have this conversation?
Mike, at lunch? It's hard now because we go to lunch and we don't want to talk about anything entertainment related because we want to save it for the podcast.
Yeah,
but then we have nothing to talk about.
I get confused. So then we just sit around making fun of the servers at the restaurant.
Do I think Marissa Tomei should have won for
My Cousin Vinny?
Probably not. But I think, you know, that was at a time where...
Yeah, I'd have to look and see who else was up for what at the time.
Right.
It just seems so strange. It seems such a strange thing to give somebody an Oscar for. I mean, it was great. I thought she was great in that part. And I love that movie. That's a very solid comedy.
It
you
is.
You know, you don't see a lot of comedies like that that take themselves seriously but are still that funny.
That's because we've reached a point where, and I think Ben Stiller and Will Ferrell are totally responsible for this. Probably starting with Adam Sandler, though, where it's just, in order for it to be a comedy, it's got to have, you know, just ridiculous sophomore humor in it.
Yeah. Well, now, Mike Myers, too. With Austin Powers, you gotta put some of that on him. See, the difference was the first Austin Powers movie was a genuinely sweet and really charming film. And the other two were just, I mean, I still think there were a lot of funny things in both of the sequels, but they were not serious movies.
Right.
Whereas the first one was, it was a really good spy movie spoof.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree. And then he went too far with it. Where I think someone who takes this and he puts it on a higher level is the Judd Apatow movies, like Superbad, Forgetting Sarah Marshall, 40-Year-Old Virgin, in for the reason that you care about those characters.
Yeah, I don't know.
I know you don't like most of those.
I love all of those. I don't like most. I thought 40-Year-Old Virgin was terrible.
I loved it, and I love Superbad, and I love... Did you see Forgetting Sarah Marshall?
No, not yet. I've heard it's really good.
It's excellent.
It's good. But no, I don't like a lot of those movies because, like in Knocked Up, for instance, there was not a single person in there who I liked.
You know what? I'll take that back.
The only person in there who I liked was his dad, played by, what's his name? From Ghostbusters.
Harold Ramis.
Harold Ramis, thank you. So he was a fine character. But the rest of them were totally unlikable. Seth Rogen's character, completely unlikable.
Yeah. No, you know what? I will say that about that movie. But see, any of those others, I mean, especially Sarah Marshall. There's so much heart in that movie.
I liked Superbad. Oh, you know, I think part of it's a sign of the times, too, because I think back to the teen movies when we were that age, like 16 Candles and Breakfast Club and Can't Buy Me Love and Some Kind of Wonderful and all those movies. And I really love those movies.
But we were at that age.
Right. And the thing is now, if you watch those movies, I mean, the datedness of them aside, if you watch those movies... compared with those kind of movies now, those kind of movies now even are much darker. The characters are angrier, usually.
Yeah, but I think that's also, like you said, a sign of the times.
That's what I'm saying.
When we went to high school, you know, there weren't kids bringing guns to school and, you know.
Well, not in our school.
Well, not in most. I don't remember
that. In inner city schools, I think that's been a problem for a long time. But the point is that I think there's a, you know, just as with every generation, there's less innocence at a younger age. Yeah. So I have a harder time relating to those movies as teenage movies. Although I did think Superbad was a really good movie. And I think, you know, the part of Superbad that I didn't like was the stuff with the cops. Because
you
knew something was going
on.
Yeah. Right. Either
their slapstick stuff.
Either they were the most idiotic characters in the world and they didn't fit into the film. Or something more sinister was going on. And it turned out to actually not be that sinister. I'm sure, you know, most people have seen that now. Right. But that part of it bugged me. But I thought the way that movie ended was really sweet. I loved the way that movie ended. I thought it was pretty cool. But yeah. most of his movies I'm not crazy about. Most of the Judd Apatow movies. Is it Apatow or Apatow?
I say Apatow. Potato potato.
Let's take a vote. Send your email to podcast@pause.com and let us know if you say Apatow or Apatow. And I have no idea. what we're going to do with that info. All right, moving on.
That's it.
That's it for the Oscars? Does it say any of the other things? Like, does it have a breakdown there for visual effects?
Yeah.
Because I want to see who else is in there, because I have a
Curious Case of Benjamin Button, The Dark Knight, or Iron Man.
That's it?
Yeah, there's always only three for that.
Oh, you know what should have been in there? Hellboy 2. Yeah. We started watching that. Really, really cool. Not only set design and all that kind of stuff, but the creature design. That movie has some of the coolest creature design I have ever seen in a film. It's amazing. Dollar in the jar.
Yeah, then I'm surprised it's not there. It might be because that's the same crew and director that worked on Pan's Labyrinth, and they won for that. So maybe they didn't want to give it to him again.
I could swear.
Because it's very similar to the creature design in Pan's Labyrinth, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like seeing a Tim Burton movie, you know, when you see a movie by him. What's his name? Del Toro?
Guillermo del Toro.
Guillermo del Toro. You know, he kind of brings that aesthetic with him in whatever he does, which I really like.
It works every time.
Yeah, which I really like. But, I mean, I thought the first Hellboy was a fun movie. It was kind of a, you know, kind of see it and then forget about it for a while kind of thing. But this movie has really totally blown me away with some of its effects and design and stuff like that. It's really cool. And the story's pretty cool so far. We had to stop watching it because the baby woke up in the middle of it. We haven't gotten back to it yet. But
still got that baby, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, we're probably going to have him pretty much forever, so.
Wow.
Yeah. Are you surprised by that?
Well, I mean, you can't even finish a movie. Come on.
He'll be older one day. Then we'll subject him to the horrors of scary movies like all the other parents. All right, so what do you have any favorites?
I'm going to wait to give my favorites
after you see some
after
world.
I've seen just about everything, and we'll have like a special
Oscars edition.
Yeah.
Cool.
Where we'll discuss all of that.
All right, so we are finished with movies. We'll be back in a minute to talk about technology and finally wrap up with our votes for the best and worst entertainment moments of the week. We'll be back after this musical interlude. Okay, we are back and we are going to talk about technology. And I think it's time for another iPhone iTunes rant. What do you think? I think this may be a regular feature of the show.
All right.
In fact,
until iTunes pulls us.
By the way, thank you again, iTunes,
for hosting
our podcast. No, I mean, it's almost not a bad idea, because then when we stop doing this, you know that it may in fact be time to go out and buy your iPhone if you haven't gotten one yet, because all the kinks have been worked out. Because right now there are a lot of kinks. I had a lot of trouble since we started doing our podcast with podcasts in iTunes. For some reason, when you subscribe to a podcast, and I think you said you don't have this problem, but I can't get it to update them. So I subscribe to our podcast, and when we post a new one, it doesn't download it. And my wife is having the same problem. The only way that she could get it on hers was to go into podcasts through the phone itself and pull them down. I don't know what the deal is.
Well, then the whole subscribe feature is pretty much used. It's not doing what it's supposed to do.
Well, exactly. And I also don't like the fact that you can't drill down. When you're in iTunes, like let's say you go to podcasts and then you see all the stuff that's new and featured, like, and let's say the category is TV and film, and you go into there, you can't continue to go from there down to see the rest of all the ones that aren't included in new or featured. You have to go back up to the top and then you have to browse. I don't know. It makes me very upset. And the other thing too is that iTunes keeps corrupting my iTunes library. In 6 months, it's crashed five times. iTunes is a glorified media player and web browser, and it's the buggiest piece of mainstream commercial software I think I've ever used.
Yeah, you know, I've had problems recently, since the last update, where it doesn't play my music when I'm on my computer, or even let me sample something off of iTunes.
So you have basically no audio at all?
No, not through the computer. And I just realized yesterday what the problem was. It's the Genius sidebar.
What do you mean?
Something about Genius. When I had Genius working, you know, that's where it tries to find similar music to something that you have highlighted, and you can make playlists. They say based on,
Genius recommendations.
Right, but they say it's based on, you know, they find other songs similar to that. I don't know how.
I'm sorry. I don't think the thing works at all. I don't, because every time I highlight a song and the Genius thing comes up on the side, all it is other songs in that same genre.
Right.
I don't think there's anything more significant to that.
Yeah. So I wouldn't so much call it genius as I would.
Maybe you should rename it Doofus.
Doofus. But once I disabled genius, now I can, you know, listen to anything.
That makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I'm using a PC. I'm sure people with Mac, you know, don't have the same issues. But.
Yeah, so if you're using a PC and you're also having trouble with your iTunes.
Disable
or
Genius.
Or QuickTime or the MobileMe control panel that it tries to automatically install even if you don't use MobileMe. Or
Safari browser.
Safari browser. Or the, what is that stupid Bonjour service that unfortunately you have to have on your system if you want to sync your iPhone. So if you're having trouble with all that stuff and you go to an Apple store or you contact Apple and they tell you that it's because you're on the PC and you'd have a better experience if you went on the Mac, don't believe them. That's entirely untrue. The reason you're having trouble is because they don't know how to program Windows software well. Because if you'll notice, you're probably not having any of those same kind of problems with any of the other software on your computer. That's extremely annoying. Apple needs to own up to its BS.
Thank you, though.
Thank you for hosting our podcast, Apple. As always. Okay, I want to talk about a couple of pieces of tech. I for months have been pirating my neighbor's wireless connection on my Xbox 360 because my Xbox 360 is really far away from where I have my wireless router, and I couldn't get a signal on it because of course the stupid Xbox wireless adapter that Microsoft sells is only G band, it's not N band, so the range is not great. And so I've been pirating her connection. Sorry about that, Juanita.
Thank you, Mrs. McGillicuddy.
It's not. Her last name is not McGillicuddy. You can try to look her up, but you won't find her. And so I decided I wanted to remedy that situation. And I did a little bit of research, and I found that Linksys makes something that they call the Dual Band Wireless N Gaming Adapter. And it's a little box. It's only about 4 inches square and about an inch and a half tall. And I'm really happy with it so far. So if you need to do that same kind of thing, I can highly recommend this, at least at this point. It was really easy to set up. You just connect it to a PC with an Ethernet cable.
Canable.
PC with an Ethernet cable. I don't have any idea what a canable is. But don't hook one up to this thing because it'll probably break it. No, so you just hook it up to a PC, run the software. It does some quick tests. And what's really cool about it is, if you have your wireless security set up the way you should, it's very easy to get this connected. It uses push button setup. So you push the button on your wireless router and then you push the button on the front of the Linksys gaming adapter, and it does all of the, you know, connection and setup and security itself, which is really cool. And then once you're done with that, you just disconnect your overpriced and underpowered Microsoft wireless adapter from the back of the Xbox 360, and instead you hook this up through the actual wired Ethernet connection. You don't, you know, the Xbox talks to this wired, and then this talks to your wireless network wirelessly. And it works really great, which is really cool, because then I set up my Windows Media Center connector so that my Xbox 360 can now stream all my media from my PC, which is very cool. And if you're looking for a cheap way to do that, the Xbox 360 is actually a pretty good way to go, because I don't know, you know, I've never used any of the other products that are available to do that kind of thing, but this one works really well. And if you're already familiar with Windows Media Center anyway, you might as well just use an interface that works. Have you used that?
No. You know what? I haven't.
Because it's exactly the same interface.
Right.
That's on your computer.
Right.
What I don't understand in the new Xbox Live experience, when you go into My Xbox, before you get over to Windows Media Center, there are a couple of other blades that say like videos and music. And I clicked on one of those by mistake yesterday, and it said that there was no PC attached. So is that completely separate from the Windows Media Center connector?
I wouldn't think so.
Because the Windows Media Center one worked fine. It was really kind of strange.
You know what? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. But it's really cool. And one of the nice things about it is when you get it working, like I put on a playlist and it was playing that. And if you've used Windows Media Center, one of the cool things is that when a playlist is playing at the very beginning and at the very end of the song, they put up the album art and the name of the song and the artist and the length of the song, just like you're watching, you know, almost like you're watching a video on, you know, MTV or something. Uh-huh. But you could, while that's playing, you can, for instance, go back to your pictures library and have a slideshow playing where it does the thing where it zooms the pictures up really slowly and have that, you know, displaying on the screen while your playlist is playing. So it's really a cool thing if you're, you know, if you're throwing a party, and especially if the party is themed, you know, you can put together a cool playlist, get some photos together and set that up on there.
Yeah,
and it's a really nice effect. And then the other piece of tech that I want to talk about is for the office here, I wanted to get some kind of iPod dock speaker that I could, you know, hook my iPhone up to play music in the office. And I had a credit from the Apple store. And so I wanted to stay within a certain price range, which was about $150. And I hate to say it, but I ended up choosing this Sony active speaker system. The model number is SRS-GU10IP. And you know why I ended up picking it? It was the only one of these things in this price range with a remote that had actual buttons on it, because I cannot stand those little membrane remotes that a lot of these things have. Because I have one of those JBL, the little round thing that looks like a little UFO that you plug your iPod or iPhone into. And it actually sounds really nice, but it's got one of those terrible, awful remotes. I cannot stand those things. Because after a while, they always wear out.
Always.
Your thumbnail always pokes through the buttons, and it gets all scratched, and then the buttons stop responding, and the remote is useless. So I didn't want to buy one of those. So thank you, Sony, for making an actual remote control for one of these. And it sounds good, too. So.
You're helping them come out of their deficit right now.
Yeah, yeah, they're not having a good time, are they?
No. I didn't know you were waiting on a response for that.
It was a question, and you're the only other person here. So thanks for paying attention. Well, I mean, they have. What were you talking about with the PlayStation that you think they're going to lower the price soon?
Yes, actually, have we already talked about this?
I don't know. Did we?
Or is that
where would we have talked about it? Or when? It wasn't in TV or movies.
You are correct, sir.
Thank you.
Yes, this week on Amazon, it had come down $50. I don't think that was...
And I think it went back already by now.
Oh, has it?
Yeah, it's already back up in price.
Okay. But I do think in the next month or so that they're going to come down at least $50. I mean, I think they have to in order to compete with Xbox and the Wii.
Yeah.
And because they already, from what they say, they already lose money on each console, I think in order to stay competitive with the others, they're going to have to still come down and lose more money on each console if they want to, you know, start selling the games. I mean, they're going to have to make their money back on the games.
So they're going to lose money on every sale, but they're going to make it up in volume.
Sure.
But, oh, you think they're just going to do it on licensing, that that's where they're going to make all their profit?
Yeah, well, I mean, if they're not selling their consoles, they're not going to sell their games.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It just seems so overpriced compared to the other ones, especially since there are not as many killer titles for the PS3 as there are. But like,
well, I think what's hurting them right now is when it first came out, it was the cheapest Blu-ray player you could find. So,
right.
I mean, it was worth it just to buy it as a Blu-ray player, and then, you know, you have a gaming system included into it. But now you can get Blu-ray players for, what, like $250.
Yeah, or even less now, I think. Did you want to make any corrections from last week, by the way?
Oh, that's right. I did have some corrections. thank you for reminding me.
Yes.
Simon Cowell is not a producer for American Idol.
Which I said.
And I also mentioned a game for the PS3. I called it Drake Uncharted. It's Uncharted Drake's Fortune.
Ah, what's the difference?
Yeah, really.
The publisher doesn't care if you know the title.
It's a great game regardless.
Okay, so the last thing I want to talk about in technology, and I'll keep it kind of to a minimum here so that we can get off and do our best and worst entertainment moments of the week. But, you know, there's been a lot of buzz on the blogosphere about Windows 7, the beta of Windows 7 that people can go and download until, I believe it's February, is it 12th or 14th? That's about somewhere in mid-February. You can still go and download it if you want. Absolutely free of charge. It's going to expire sometime in the fall, though. I think in September it expires. But, you know, and everybody's talking about all the cool new features, and there are a lot of cool new features. But one thing that I didn't see anybody talking about was the whole issue of whether or not it would run on sort of low-end hardware. I mean, one of the big criticisms of Vista, and one of the only criticisms of Vista that I really agree with, is that it really does require a pretty beefy machine to run well. The first machine I ever had that had Vista on it was a laptop that only had 1 gigabyte of memory and was not expandable past that, which I didn't realize until later. And it's a little bit painful running Vista on that machine. So I can definitely understand why people, you know, have had that complaint. But so what we decided to do was go to the store down the street and buy basically the cheapest components that we could put together to make a system. And the goal was to spend less than $500 and see how Windows 7 would run on that machine or not run on that machine. And so you can go onto pause.com to see the full write-up of what we put together and how it did. But I will give you a little hint, is that Windows 7, which is now German.
Very, very good.
It is very, very good. Windows 7 runs very, very well. on this machine that only cost us about $420 to put together. So that is pretty neat. And there'll be some more screenshots on there if you are not familiar yet with some of the cool features that Windows 7 has. It looks a lot like Vista, basically, but they did make some significant changes, especially to the taskbar and the quick launch area, and not only how those things look, but how they work. And a lot of other stuff under the hood is improved as well. I've been extremely impressed with how polished and how fast it is already.
And yeah, startup time and
yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Startup, you know, boot up time on this low-end machine has been about 30 seconds. Shutdown time has been about 10 to 15 seconds, which is much better than it has been in Vista.
Yeah.
So I think Microsoft has done a great job so far, and there are a couple of little things that have come out, and obviously it's beta, so it's not done yet. But I don't think they're going to release another public beta. I think that just came out, that's not going to happen. Oh, going back, one more thing in technology before we talk about our best and worst entertainment moments, going back to the iPhone, it was just uncovered that people think there might be a new iPhone coming out soon. Did you see that?
Is it the iPhone Nano?
Well, I don't know about that, but you know, the when people browse to websites and the web stats track the browsers that are there, I guess some of the information that's passed along when you browse on the iPhone is the hardware version of the phone.
Uh-huh.
And so the original iPhone was, I guess, 1.1. And this one, the iPhone 3G, is 1.2.
Uh-huh.
And the other day, somebody saw a stat on a website that the iPhone was 2.1. So they think that that Apple may have started testing a completely new product.
Wow.
Which would be weird. Yeah, maybe it is a smaller version. I don't know. But something new.
It's been a lot of speculation for a while now.
There has been. Remember, copy and paste, a better camera.
Flash player.
A flash player for the web browser, a flash for the camera, video, and...
Are you taking this down, Apple?
And the ability to sync your stupid iPhone or iPod with as many computers as you want to, which there's no reason for them not to do that now that they're getting rid of DRM.
Right.
And also, initially, did you see that the DRM, if you had bought music on iTunes that was DRM protected, you could now upgrade it to DRM free versions of those for 30 cents a song, but you could only do it for everything that you had ever purchased. And now they're exactly. And now they're letting you do it on a song by song or album by album basis.
Oh.
So you get to choose what you want to do, which is nice. I guess I don't know why they changed their mind, but I'm just glad they did. Okay, so here we are, on to our votes for best and worst entertainment moments of the week. Why don't we start with our worst entertainment moments of the week?
So we can end on a high note.
Yeah, end on a high note. It'll be just like Slumdog Millionaire.
Yeah.
We'll get beat up by the Mumbai gangs, and then we can end with a nice musical number, in theory.
Okay, my worst entertainment moment of the week would have to be Mickey Rourke losing the SAG Award for Best Actor.
Who'd he lose to?
Sean Penn, which was a great performance.
Yeah.
But in watching that performance, you think, oh, wow, that's Sean Penn doing a great performance.
Yeah.
And watching Mickey Rourke's performance, after 5 minutes, you forget it's Mickey Rourke.
Yeah.
I mean, he really brings the character to life.
And you know, you really do not see that often.
No. You don't. That's why it really stands out. I can't think of the last time I saw that.
You know, I think the last time that I saw something like that, and I think you said
Paul Blart Mall Cop?
No, not Paul Blart Mall Cop. Although I'm sure that's in that category, but I just haven't seen it. I think you said you didn't like this movie, but did you see Gangs in New York?
No.
Oh, you didn't?
I think I may have caught the first half hour.
Oh, you have to watch that movie. Daniel Day-Lewis is definitely in that category in that film. It's a really brutal performance, and he is unbelievable in that role. It's really, really...
So it cancels out Cameron Diaz?
Is she in that? Oh, yeah, I guess she is. And Leah Carpo DiNardio, who I'm not a huge fan of.
Oh, but, come on. Leo?
No. I hated Titanic.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm not a huge fan of Titanic either, but...
Yeah,
he's really redeemed himself with me, especially in the last couple of years.
Yeah, I thought he was really good in Blood Diamond.
Uh-huh.
I'll give him that one. And I actually really...
He was great in Departed.
You know, I didn't like that movie.
Really?
Yeah, I thought it was extremely overrated. I thought it was okay. But, you know, we've talked about this before. Everyone was saying it was as good as The Godfather and Goodfellas and all that
absolutely
kind of stuff.
Absolutely not.
No, not even close.
No.
I thought it was too all over the place, and I didn't even really think it had that good of a story, to be honest. But he was fine in that. But I also liked him in The Aviator. I thought he was good in that. Mm-hmm. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I always like movies about Howard Hughes. I don't know why. Yeah, it just fascinates me because he seems like he was such a strange guy. But yeah, but in general, I'm not a big Leo fan. But anyway. Okay, my worst entertainment moment of the week. I hate to give the guy more time, but it's definitely Rob Blagojevich not showing up for his court date.
Which was my second choice.
I mean, I can't understand how this guy is so clueless. I mean, he's like an American Idol contestant who thinks they can sing when they can't.
Right.
I don't know how he could think that there's anybody who's going to believe a word of what he's saying at this point.
Well, as of this recording time, he's yeah. no longer. So.
Yeah. I guess we're not so poignant.
Justice has been served.
Yeah, that's right. But, yeah, the first time we recorded this, I said, man, I just wish they would kick him out. And then later that night, what did they do? Yeah. They kicked him out. So thank you, State of Illinois, for an early birthday present this year. But, yeah, God, that's just embarrassing.
Look at my hair right now. I'm doing my own little tribute to Blagojevich.
Yeah, you know we're not on video, right? So nobody else can see what you're talking
about.
Yeah,
you can see.
Yeah, Tony's hair is a little tousled and messy. And it's big. It's very floofy on top right now. And I'm sorry if you're hearing that my hat keeps hitting my microphone. Yeah, so that was definitely my worst entertainment moment of the week. Now, my agent, Debbie, called me, and a little shout out to Debbie. My agent, Debbie, called me the other day, and she told me that Blagojevich happened to go up to her friend's car. She was at a stoplight or something. I don't remember.
This is recently?
Yeah, this was just, I guess, just the last week or something. He went up to her car, like knocked on the window, and was like, hi, I'm Rob Blagojevich, and I just want to let you know that none of what they're saying about me is true. She's like, what? Oh, I kind of wish I had been in the car so I could have been like, roll him up and driven away. But that is just so bizarre.
Oh.
But anyway, all right. So on to your best entertainment moment of the week.
Actually, you just blew the whistle on my best entertainment moment.
Oh, no.
What
did I say?
When you intro'd this whole segment. But it would have to be the musical number at the end of Slumdog Millionaire.
Oh, okay.
It's a little Bollywood number.
Sorry about that.
Like I said in my review for the movie, there's just so much intensity in that movie between, you know, torture and violence and just like, you know, all that this kid goes through. So when it ends on a, you know, on a happy note, you're like, oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
And then the credits roll and then there's a musical number,
so funny.
You know, so you're not only leaving with a smile on your face, but, you know, a
yeah.
little yeah. spring in your step.
Well, that's good. That's a very happy.
No, it was excellent.
A good best entertainment moment of the week. For my vote for best entertainment moment of the week is going to have to go to Top Chef contestant Fabio Viviani. This past week, last week on Top Chef, not this week, last week on Top Chef, they did Restaurant Wars, which is something they do every year, where they divide the remaining contestants into two teams. And in the course of 24 hours, they have to plan, shop for, decorate, cook for, and serve a restaurant full of patrons. They have one day to do this. Which is crazy. I mean, you've worked in the restaurant business.
Yeah, and I've opened restaurants.
And you've opened restaurants. And it
takes a long time.
Like, usually months, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of people.
Right.
So they've got, like, you know, four or five people to do this. And so he was, Fabio is from Italy, and he has a restaurant in California, but he's really charming and really funny and very outspoken. And, you know, because English is not his first language, he has a lot of these, like, crazy little sayings that he throws out there all the time. So they were doing one of his talking head segments, and he was talking about the fact that he's really confident because he's working the front of the house. He's the one who's going to be greeting the guests and making sure they get their food. And he knows he's charming. So he's talking about how he thinks they've really got the competition in the bag. And he looks at the camera and he says, we can serve monkey ass in an empty clamshell. We're going to win this one. It was the best line that I think I heard all week. So Fabio, thank you again for that great line. And again, since we're a little late and I've already watched this week's Top Chef, have you seen it?
No.
He makes another monkey ass joke. So it's going to be monkey ass every week from Fabio, apparently. Yeah, it is a theme. So thanks for that. Those are our best and worst entertainment moments of the week. I don't think anybody emailed in with the correct answers, so unfortunately, there will be no prizes awarded this week.
Oh.
But keep trying, because you never know. It's going to be a surprise.
Yeah. I have to release Doogie Howser Season 1, so someone win.
You still got that lying around. All right, well, thank you again for tuning in. And as we said, we'll try to get these up on Wednesday every week. Sorry for the delay this week. But thank you. Keep those emails coming. And
that's podcast@pause.com.
podcast@pause.com. And we will talk to you again next Wednesday.
Goodbye.